Hi, welcome to the IFSEC Global Security Podcast. I'm Adam Bannister, and today I'm interviewing Jim McHale, Managing Director and Founder of Memori. A London-based consultancy company, Memori provides independent market research, business intelligence, and advice on smart building technologies. Hi Jim, it'd be great if you could tell us a little bit about yourself, your background.
Yeah, sure. So I started Memori, which is a research consultancy company. We focus on smart buildings. Started it in 2008.
Yeah.
We've been covering security for that length of time, pretty much.
Yeah.
We also cover light and control, building energy management systems. So we look at like any kind of technical IT-based, you know, stuff that goes into buildings.
Okay. Yeah. What made you particularly interested in that area?
It just came from I previously had worked at a consultancy. And then when that company got sold, and then I thought I'd start up on my own. Mm. So I think that's where my interest came from.
Okay, great. Okay. Mm. So you're going to be talking at IFSEC International which is taking place between 16th and 18th of June. Would you like to tell us a little bit about what you're going to be speaking about?
Sure, absolutely. The first talk I'm giving will be about the kind of business of physical security as it is at the moment. So really kind of a state of the market, looking at size and where the growth's coming from, what are the growth drivers, you know, what's influencing the market externally and internally. That's the first one. Second one will be more kind of a overview look at how security is fitting into this Internet of Things that obviously everyone's talking about. And really about how security needs to sort of take its place in that new world of this kind of ubiquitous sensing that's happening now and is continuing to grow. Okay. A lot of stuff happening in that area now.
Okay, good stuff. You obviously do a lot around smart buildings. What does that concept mean in terms of how fire and security increasingly overlap because of IP?
Yeah, so IP is enabling a lot more integration, and this is one aspect of it. And as we write about in our research, and I think everybody kind of understands now, it's not stating anything new. But IP is one of the, you know, the key drivers for this business. Mm. I mean, some of the figures that we looked at in terms of the market, you know, we estimated that for security products in 2014, market's roughly around $25 billion globally. You know, of that, video is around 54%. And if we look at, you know, where the growth in video is coming from, it's being driven by IP networked products and services. And we just see that continuing. I mean, IP is enabling cameras to become a lot more intelligent and be able to do a lot more things in just, of course, analytics and also things like edge storage and it's just actually a very exciting time, I think, for video, looking at how it can integrate with other systems and in buildings to really provide intelligence.
Okay.
You know, we talk a little bit about how previously I think we've, as we sort of say, the construction building industry as a whole, we've thought about building buildings specifically just about output, right? Mm. Building more buildings. But now, hopefully, we can start thinking about building buildings for outcome, right? Mm. You know, really understanding what it is that we want, what the function of the building is, right? And if we can have a pervasive network of sensors that can gather intelligence, and we can make informed decisions based on that information, and I think we can really improve the way that we use buildings and how they function.
Okay, great. So it clearly has a lot of benefits.
Yeah, security has a big part to play. And I think it's a video. You know, when someone else said that almost the video camera is like a Swiss Army knife of sensing, right?
Yeah.
It's what you can do with it is it's in becoming more useful, and there's a lot more in that's coming from video, I think. So it's be interesting to watch that.
Yeah, definitely. So these smart technologies obviously have a lot of benefits, but what about the risks, specifically the cyber risks?
Yeah, and we've done a bit of work on that recently. We did a podcast with a cybersecurity expert, and also wrote a few articles about it. And yeah, absolutely. I mean, you don't have to wait too long now in the news to sort of see another article or some news about what is happening with cybersecurity, like, you know, another data breach or some kind of hole to get in. So yeah, I mean, the clear fact is the more things we connect to the internet, the more things are hackable, right? And people can get into. Mm. So it's up to the industry really to step up to that, right? You know, the people that are producing software that maybe integrates and puts these things, some of it is perhaps not as secure as other things, but there are things out there that are secure. We just need to be able to understand them and use them properly. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think, you know, the security industry and others, you know, we need to kind of make sure that we are training people with the right IT skills to really understand, you know, what it is that we're doing here. I mean, there was a stat that the guy we interviewed came up with, and he's done some research looking at building automation deployments, and he found around 64,000 IP addresses, and of that, about 47% were accessible in some way without much authentication. So you can see at the moment, I mean, that's a problem. So people aren't securing, you know, these sensors and products that they're putting onto the internet. So we need to do a better job.
Yeah, certainly. Mm-hmm. How do you envisage this smart buildings paradigm evolving over the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, I think 10 years is really hard to predict, right? But 5 years, I mean, I think, and we've written about this, in the if this concept of Internet of Things in buildings specifically is really going to take hold, the way that contractually, the way that we build buildings or that we retrofit buildings is going to have to change, right? Because it's sort of the old system of how we, you know, give people contracts, and then how that's fitted in and is not going to be the best way of doing business in the future. So I think that's one thing that that's going to have to be looked at. More partnering for sure with IT companies. So I think there's going to be a blurring of that. I don't know exactly how, whether that will be, you know, whether it's through acquisition, probably not. More that I think, you know, there are, and we wrote about this recently, that there are benefits on both sides. You know, some of the bigger building automation security companies, they have a lot of legacy kit out there, right? And the IT companies just don't have that. So that's a huge advantage that they have. But the IT companies really understand the Internet of Things, spending billions of dollars on R&D to put together platforms to connect all this stuff and understand it and use the intelligence. And, you know, as security companies and building automation companies, you can't compete with that. So I think there is obvious opportunity there for partnership.
Okay.
And I think we'll see more of that. And then I think we'll see more, obviously, like, I think more proliferation of sensors. Mm. You know, video camera prices are coming down. For example, and, you know, the thermal imaging cameras, price points coming down. I think we'll see, you know, more use of thermal in network camera systems, which is great. So that's just another tool, like more information that we can use intelligently. Probably more edge storage and edge processing, which should hopefully allow us to to process more information and really understand what's going on in the building. So that's what I hope, what I think will happen. And then, as I said before, then it can perhaps lead us into this situation where we're building buildings with outcome in mind, not just, you know, building another building and not really understanding what's going on in it.
Great. There's been quite a bit of consolidation recently in the traditional security industry. Where do you see the most interesting innovation in this space happening in terms of the level of the market and geographically as well?
I think the basic trend over the last few years has been that most of the innovation, most of the interesting M&A has come from what I would call the middle market, right?
Yeah.
So pure play kind of security manufacturers like Axis, like Avigilon, who have achieved the most growth, who are now becoming more acquisitive, certainly Avigilon. And that's what's sort of been driving the market. The what I would call the conglomerate companies, the ones that don't just play in security but are much bigger, you know, and they've stayed away from the security industry in a sense. And in fact, a couple of, sort of over the last couple of years have spun off some of their security products division. So that's has been the trend. I mean, more recently we've seen companies like Canon take more interest in security. So I think it's pretty clear now that they're serious about video surveillance, buying Milestone, buying Axis. It's a real statement of intent. So whether that's going to continue in terms of, you know, that trend of acquisition, and I don't know. You know, we've always said over the past 5 years that we expected more acquisition because it is a fragmented market, and sort of this idea of that the markets tend to consolidate as they mature, and it didn't happen for a while, right? But now it seems to be happening, and I would expect that kind of pace to keep up for a couple of years.
Okay, that's really interesting. I mean, we've covered all the questions now. Is there anything else you want to add about what Memora is doing or about the industry?
Well, there was one thing about the we sort of said the Asian market, and that's, you know, when we talked about, I think, growth, I think we estimated the total market growth for 2014 was 7.5%.
Yeah.
Which is still pretty good, and if we even look at sort of Axis, we think Axis Control is growing around 10%. A lot of the growth is coming from the Asian markets, obviously. But I think what's interesting is that, you know, we've now got two major, you know, manufacturers of video in China who are looking now to grow outside of that domestic market, take on, you know, North America and Europe. And they're putting a lot of effort into that, so that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out at IFSEC as well. Because I would expect them to have, you know, quite a presence there.
I'm happy to leave it there if you are, Jim.
Yep,
that was brilliant. Thanks for coming in. That was really fascinating, and it gives us a very tantalising foretaste of what we can see at IFSEC International. So thank you.